Welcome to New Life Church teaching series, Bridge Builders, with the lesson titled, Any Old Donkey Will Do. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
I would rather be a sheep, right? My goal today is to graduate you from sheep to donkeys. Somebody say glory. You missed a wonderful opportunity right there. To be like sheep is not a very flattering comparison, believe it or not. Sheep are some of the dumbest and most defenseless animals there are. It's the reason the scriptures refer to us lots of times. Israel referred to a lot as the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Donkeys are very strong and intelligent. Now, isn't that something? They're very, very strong. They're stronger for their size than any animal. They're more sure-footed than any animal. They think. Why do they think? A donkey is stronger than a horse of the same size. Donkeys have an incredible memory. They can recognize areas and other donkeys they were with up to 25 years ago. Now I know why some call me a donkey. For my memory. A donkey will not do something it considers to be unsafe. Isn't that something? That's what a donkey is. We say he's stubborn as a donkey. He's not stubborn. He's very, very, very cautious. Donkeys have a reputation for stubbornness, but this is due to their highly developed sense of self-preservation. You want some more donkey stuff? Donkeys are more independent in their thinking than sheep and will reason and then make decisions based on their safety. Training a donkey relies upon showing him or her by words and actions that they can trust you to protect them from harm. Isn't that something? You have to win a donkey. Sheep will follow any dumb sheep. Sheep need a shepherd. But a donkey has to feel safe, has to be won over. Now, as we're going through these scriptures, there'll be several things going on at the same time. Number one, the Holy Spirit hopefully will be speaking to you. As the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it might not have a thing to do with what I'm saying. Something that I can say, the Holy Spirit can use it and take it to your heart, and you'll think I'm going in a direction just to find out I'm going into another direction, but that is a cue to you that the Holy Spirit is definitely speaking to you. It can be like a three-ring circus. I can be speaking one thing on a natural level, and in the spiritual level, something else is going on. So I want us to be aware of that as we move forward. Now, the first donkey story I'm going to do here is, of course, a donkey of Abraham and Isaac. That is in Genesis chapter 22, 1 through 14. Now, this will be in two parts, the first donkey and the second donkey. Now, in the first donkey, I'm not going to mention donkey much. But I want you to start catching on what the donkey was used for. Then the second part of the message, I'm going to donkey right on up there. Right on up your alley. In Genesis 22, 1 through 14, we have the story of Abraham and Isaac. Now, the pastor asked me to teach in this slot of bridge builders. And you can say, well, Alan, what in the world has a donkey got to do with bridge builders? You're going to see what donkeys. I didn't know either until I started just seeking the Lord and researching. And I, son of a gun, it was right there all the time. What does a donkey have to do with building the bridge? Well, to do that and to have the understanding, he also asked me to do it kind of on the prophetic. What does the prophetic mean? Well, believe it or not, this is the first message ever preached on a prophetic donkey. You missed another wonderful place to say glory, hallelujah. A prophetic donkey. I'm going to make it work, preacher. So it'll be on prophecy. It'll be on the prophetic. Now, to do that, we're going to go through a little prophetic exercise here of how we look at Scripture and then we look in Scripture. It's symbolic. It actually really happened, and it will happen. So Scripture's never written to be used once. Scripture has been written to be applied in every application. Isn't that amazing? So amazing me how it works. Scripture has been given, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, to apply it to your life, to give you direction and freedom. So let's look at the Scripture with prophetic eyes. We've got there again, it's like a three-ring circus. We've got a couple avenues going on here. Now, the life of Isaac has many pictures of Jesus. So I'm going to go through Abraham and Isaac here, and I want you to see the life of Abraham and Isaac and start seeing with your spirit how it compares to the life of Christ. And that will develop that spiritual eye in you. Abraham and Sarah wanted a child very much. Y'all remember the story? One day, three angels came and promised him and Sarah a son. Now, we know that they were definitely too old to have this son. But by divine, just a totally divine encounter with the Holy Spirit of God, made that was impossible possible. Now, it is totally impossible for Alan Smith to escape hell. It's impossible. I can't be good enough. I can't do good enough. I can't be spiritual enough. I can't be righteous enough. I can't do enough good stuff to escape it. It's impossible. But God. Would you say that with me? But God. Now listen, every set of circumstances in your life must end with the phrase, but God. There's not a set of circumstances that won't end with, but God. Then do you know, if you will practice that, right after you say, but God, you'll feel a witness of the Holy Ghost within your soul, and you'll just feel better. Why do you feel better? Because it's the truth. Your trust is in not your own convincing self. Your trust is in but God. Abraham, Sarah, they got a little ahead of God. They didn't put in but God. But did you know that but God's real? Whether you work with him or not? Listen. I've heard a preacher say it before. It's not, our faith is not in my love for God, because it'll fail. Anybody lived long enough for that one to happen? It will fail. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Your love for God will fail. But his love for you will not. So where are you going to put your faith? In your own love for God? Or is your faith in his love for you? Now listen, I want you to love God, but I don't want you to put faith in it, because that one will let you down. It's called self-righteousness. I want you to direct your faith in his love for you, because it will not fail. If it will not fail, then the but God's true. How many times is it true? It's true every time. So as a prophetic people, we're looking for the but God in everything. The Lord was giving me this, I had a person talking to me this last week, and I said, wait a minute, our conversation's not getting anywhere. Let's let God butt in. What I was meaning was, let's find the but God. Let's find the God butting into our conversation here and let him have the last word. So anyway, the last word, the but God was, they had a son. Now, Abraham was given the son, Isaac, and he loved his son. He loved him very much. But God was testing Abraham with the son. God tested Abraham and said, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Now, there's some people under the sound of my voice, most of you, have said, Lord, here I am. We just didn't know that he was going to have you sacrifice your own son. We just didn't know that what he was about to ask of us was this big. I said, God, here I am. I thought that meant that I got to go serve you and everything would be all right. No, no, no. It wasn't about his obedience here. It was about God was testing Abraham. He was under a test. Now, if you know you're being tested, the right answer is very important. Listen, y'all got to listen to this C student. I'm telling you the truth. If you know you're taking a test, the right answer is very important. You can't fudge it. Abraham was under a test. Nothing would do but the right answer. A lot of times we're waiting for God to speak when we've already read the book and got the right answer. Right? If you have to identify what's happening in your life. If you can say, I think I'm in a test. If you can identify that, then you need to say the right answer is very important. If you're taking a test, here's the book. You've been given the right answer. Just fill in the blank. I'll show you how much Abraham believed in it here. God said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice upon one of the mountains. I would say it's a pretty good test. What God gave to Abraham. You got to remember, you have been given the same test. Everybody in here are taking tests. The test of life, and they're hard. We say, well, let's go to God, and let's come to church, and let's go to God, so that our life will be easier. Wrong answer in that test. When you pass a test, and you move up a grade, guess what happens to the test? The tests get harder. Oh, I thought it was supposed to get easier. No, you said, God, here I am. God said, okay. Now, what does the test accomplish? It accomplishes you seeking God for the right answer to the test. One way you can know you're in a test is if you're seeking God a lot. If you find yourself failing the test, you're not seeking God a lot, but you keep taking the test. Now, Abraham was tested about his son Isaac. Put on your prophetic cap, your spiritual cap. Let's read into the scripture. All of a sudden, we start seeing this having a little bit of a parallel with the life of Christ. Here you got Abraham's like God. You got Isaac's like Christ. Then you got God the Father, or Abraham's going to offer his son Isaac, or Jesus. Can you start seeing the parallel here? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Okay, so we're reading a story that really happened, but we're trying to look into it because this story is telling us about future. Right? Now, here's what you got to understand about scripture. When scripture is spoken, it's like an echo in a well. It speaks. It's happened over and over and over and over. It never ends. Scripture goes on for eternity. It's always being spoken. You're always taking the test. You're always have to need the right answer. Abraham was very sad, but he did what? He trusted in this test, and he obeyed. Now, you got to understand this one. It says he took two men and a donkey to carry the wood for the fire. Make a little mental note, donkey carrying wood and fire. He went towards the mountain with Isaac, his son. On the third day, Abraham saw the mountain far away. Now, here's the part I want you to see that I didn't put here. Abraham left the next day. Early, the Bible says. He left the next day early. How quickly was his obedience to the word of the Lord? It was urgent in his mind. He did it right then. He did it the next day. He loaded up the donkey. He got fire and he got wood. Why do you have to take fire and wood? It's for the sacrifice. He was to sacrifice his son out of obedience to God. God asked Abraham to do it as a test. God asked Abraham to do it as a test. So in the year 2015, I would hear the scriptures echoing, echoing, echoing. It's a test. It's a test. In 2015, I can stand and tell you it's echoing to me. You're in a test. You need to put in the right answer. Put in the right answer. The scriptures still speak. They can get louder and louder. Let's watch this one. We all have to carry our own wood. Now, I'm hoping you're getting to the dimension of this prophetic word here. Here's what it says. As they came near the mountain, Abraham said to the men, "Stay here with the donkey while I go up the mountain with Isaac to do what? To worship. And when we have worshiped, we will come back to you." That's pretty confident. Abraham believed God. He was obedient to God. Abraham went through with taking him up the mountain to sacrifice his son. But he had so much faith in the love of God for Abraham. Abraham had so much faith in the love of God for him. He believed whether they would die and be resurrected or whatever, he still believed they'd be walking back down that mountain, him and his son. Now, in your test, you might feel like you're dying. And you might be. The only thing I can tell you, if you do die, you'll be resurrected. The only thing I can tell you, you probably won't die. And you and whoever the test is with, you'll be coming back down the mountain together. But why? Because it's a test. If you'll take the test, God will give you the reward. Let's move on. So he had great confidence in God. Isaac was to carry up his wood. Can anybody start seeing, what is that prophetic? What can you see in there? Isaac is a picture of Jesus carrying his own cross up Mount Calvary. Right? Here is Isaac. He's carrying the wood. What happened? We see that Jesus carried his wood. See, that's signifying burden. And now listen, everybody has to carry their own wood. There's no need bringing me your wood. I couldn't carry it if I wanted to. If you're breaking down carrying somebody's wood, it's because that wood wasn't designed for you to carry. You can pray for somebody else's wood, but you're not supposed to carry it. You've got to carry your own wood. If you're looking at somebody else's wood, it's probably because you're not doing a very good job with your wood. You got your own wood to carry, and you need to carry it, and you need to carry it well. Now, where is he carrying the wood? To be sacrificed. He's carrying wood and he's carrying fire. So to you, the test even takes on the form of wood. It's something that's got to be crucified. Most of the time, you can know it's a test from God when you're asking to sacrifice that means the most to you. The only thing I can tell you, you got to give it to God. You just got to give it to God. If you're sitting in here today, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you're what we would call lost, or if you have not run into the message and the realization of who Jesus Christ is, if you are in here and never received Christ, let me let you off the hook a little bit. Everybody in here was lost sometime. So if you're sitting in here lost or don't know Christ, well, you're sitting in a group of a bunch of us. But there was just one day we said yes. There was just one day we said yes. I don't know what they got, but I want it. It's all you got to do. You've got the wood just the same. You've got more burdens than you can carry just the same. Now, Abraham was also testing God. Now I kind of threw this one in here. You can say, well, Alan, that's saying, isn't that a little, I don't know about that. Do we need to test God? Well, Abraham was testing God also. Abraham took the wood for the sacrifice and laid it on the shoulders of Isaac, his son, and he took the fire and a knife, and the two of them went on together as they were walking. Isaac said, here we go now, my father, see here are the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? So here Abraham's taking his son Isaac up there. Abraham's got great faith in God, but Abraham, I personally believe, would have sacrificed his son. He had to have that much obedience in his heart. But Abraham said, okay, God, I'm going up the mountain. We're going to see if you're going to do what you say you're going to do. He went on to say, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Isn't that something? In this test, Abraham's faith was so strong. His son said, where is the sacrifice? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Now listen to me. Trust God. If you're in a test, trust God. He will provide. He will provide. Listen, go ahead and test God. How do you say, how can I test God? You test God by going up to somebody, it looks like it's hopeless, and you say, it's hopeless, but God, it's hopeless, it looks, that's testing God. Your faith in operation tests God. Is anybody prophetically getting what I'm trying to say here? So when you put your faith in action, don't have the mental battle, well, what if God doesn't? Wrong answer to the test. You'll get a zero. You'll have to take the test over. But God. If I passed out a spiritual test today and I had a 100 fill-in-the-blank questions, you don't have to know but one answer. But God. Just but God. But God. You see, he has fulfilled the test for you. So he had tremendous faith. Now, he says there that he came down with a fire and a knife. Prophetically, let's look in. Let's read that and let's look in. It says he had a fire and he had a knife. The fire and the knife in the hand of Abraham reminds us of God the Father and how he did what? Judged our sin upon his only son on the cross. The fire and the knife shows the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The fire and the knife. A picture, Abraham, Isaac. It was a test for Abraham. It's revelatory to us. Number one, I hope you do not leave here today unless you realize most of your life is a test. And it's not a test about staying here. It's a test about when we're there and come back here. I don't understand it. I just know, listen, you can say, well, I don't know. The only reason they're having a hard time is because of so-and-so. Well, the only thing I can say to you, only thing I can say is they're getting a test. I hope I don't get theirs. I don't want your test. I don't want mine, much less somebody else's. And the Bible says, don't judge somebody else's test, lest you be judged with the same test. Some of you have got 10 or 12 tests that wasn't even yours to start with. I'll let you figure that one out. Now, you're getting it spiritually. Okay, that's good. Okay, Abraham built an altar and placed the wood on it. Then he tied the hands and the feet of his only son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took hold of the knife to slay his son. Isn't that something? Jesus was also bound by his hands and his feet. You remember in the scriptures? There again, we're looking in. Like Isaac, Jesus was obeying and trusting his father. Jesus was obedient to what? to death. Can you see how Isaac was just a parallel to Christ? He willingly laid down his life. Isaac willingly laid down there. Christ willingly went to the cross. Isn't that amazing? Jesus there we see he was bound. Now, what's this one? And the scriptures go on to say about Abraham, and the angel of the Lord called Abram, Abram. He answered, here I am. There it is again. Be careful when you say it. The reason he had to say it twice, because he said it the first time. The angel said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you obey God. You have not held back from giving your son, your only son. Now, here's the deal. Abraham was in a test. In his test, he was obedient to the right answer. His obedience was quickly. He moved quickly. He was obedient. Now, you can say, well, if Abraham knew, because the reason I'm saying this is what I do in my life, if Abraham knew that God was going to do that, why did Abraham even go? I can say, well, I know God's going to do something, so there's no need me going through the form. There's no need me. God told me to be here at church today, but there's no need going because I already know it anyway. So there's no need going. I don't have time to put it in here, but there's a lot of things that Abraham picked up along the trip, along the way. You see, God's destination, the end was already figured out. What happened on the way hadn't been written yet. Listen, if you've accepted Christ, your end's already been settled. Well, what happens along the way hasn't been written yet. Wouldn't you love to have what hasn't been written yet? Wouldn't you just love to bring one person into the kingdom of God? Now, would that be a hoot or what? What if you really got the touch for it and you brought two or three people into the kingdom? There's no greater high on the planet than to lead somebody to Christ. There is no greater high than have the Holy Spirit of God fill you and fill another person with the good news of Jesus Christ. How did I get on that one? Who knows? Here we go. Now, Abraham looked up, saw a ram caught in a thicket. Abraham took the ram and offered it instead of his son. He called the place, the Lord will what? Now, here's the deal. If you're in a test, I can promise you on the authority of God's word, if you'll do the right answer, that God will provide whatever you need. Because what you need, the test to provide, you can't provide it. And so therefore, you say there's no need doing the right answer because I can't provide what the test will do. That's the right answer. But if you will go ahead and fill in the test with the right answer, God will provide what you can't provide. It didn't make a bit of sense to me, but do you know what I mean, Vern? God will provide. I say that under the authority of the written word of God that I can hear echoing down through the ages right now for me to say to you. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You also need to know you need to put in the right answer. That's all. Let's move on. Let's switch donkeys. Man, we rode that old donkey long enough, hadn't we? The donkey of Jesus. Now, I want us to look at something here in this donkey. This is the donkey that carried Jesus into Jerusalem. This is the scripture that you really should use next week. Next week is Palm Sunday. That's the week before Easter. And I guess I'm prophetic because I'm a week early. If this prophetic donkey that I'm getting ready to show you, and he's speaking of Palm Sunday, and what his job was. It's important. Well, just let me tell you this little story of in the donkeys have a language with each other from donkey to donkey. This is just from one donkey to another. Donkeys have a language, and just like we have fables and stories as humans down through the years and ages, donkeys has a story they told each other and passed down through generations. And the story was about the little donkey who carried Jesus. And this little donkey that carried Jesus, he was said that they came and got him and put a man on his back, and he carried him in to Jerusalem. And they got done with him. And the Bible says it was a colt. It was a young donkey. And a colt would signify probably a male. And he was with his mother. And so after the colt had fulfilled its task, as the story goes, the little colt went home to his mama and said, "Mama, you're not going to believe it. I went into Jerusalem. And the people loved me so much, they were throwing down their cloaks in the road. They were throwing down these palms. They were crazy about me." And the mother looked at the little donkey and said, "Well, son, I hate to tell you, but I think that was all about the one you were carrying." With that little story in mind, let's go into this next scripture. Who is the little donkey carrying? It says in Matthew 21, 1 through 9, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass or a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, then put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon." They put their clothes on the little donkey, and then they set Jesus upon the donkey. "And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is in the highest." Now, that's what we will be. That's what next week Palm Sunday is about. It's about this event. It's a week before Jesus goes to the cross. Being a donkey for Jesus. That was a good little thought, but why would you want to be a donkey for Jesus? Because a donkey carried his presence into the city. You see, the donkey wasn't ever noticed. Why did he choose a donkey? Because they're sure-footed. Listen, this was the colt of a donkey. This colt had never been trained. But this colt trusted the rider, which his name was Jesus. God should be able to use us to access certain places, certain areas, and certain realms. Something is to carry his presence. Now, the donkey carried Jesus into Jerusalem. There's an idea here. Let's look in it, not just at it. Let's look in it. The donkey's not ever noticed. You don't ever hear a sermon on donkeys. I'm just trying to pull the donkey out of the scriptures because I believe it has a meaning, a prophetic meaning. The donkey was carrying the presence of Jesus. Let me ask you something. Has Jesus won your trust? Okay, you can carry his presence then. Will you allow him to teach you? Okay, you can carry his presence. If you're teachable, if you trust him. Do you realize when you're teachable and you trust him and when he's When you can really carry His presence is when He's won your heart. You see, unless you win a colt's heart, that colt will not let you get on its back. Why? Because a colt, a donkey, has to feel safe. We call them stubborn. They're not stubborn, they're smart. They won't move unless they feel safe. Do you feel safe carrying the presence of Jesus? If you feel safe, you can carry the presence of Jesus. Listen, it didn't take but one donkey to carry the presence of Jesus and tear up a whole town. Didn't take but one little old scrawny colt. But He carried a lot of presence and turned upside down a whole town. Isn't that amazing? In the Bible, you will find that God's presence was never meant to be only something in the atmosphere that we can feel. Now, follow me here just a little bit. We love it when the presence of God comes. But also, I want to introduce you to a thought about it wasn't meant to just come like this. Watch it. In the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant proves that His presence was meant to be carried. Prophetically, look at it, look in it. You see, the presence of God came down upon the Ark of the Covenant. And then they carried the presence around with them. So they were introduced to the idea that God wants to be carried in something. It's just His deal. Go figure. I think He got tired of the box. In the New Testament, the Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. In a pigeon, in a bird. There again, the presence was being carried in something. Do I believe that literally the Holy Spirit was in a dove? And can't? Yes, I do. Just call me a donkey. I believe it. Now, when He left this earth, the Holy Ghost came into the upper room and sat upon each of them. That implies that they bore or carried God's presence. It's the whole idea that the Scriptures are trying to teach us. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you getting at what a donkey for Jesus is? It's that presence of God. Can we carry, will we carry the presence of God? What's this one? So then, becoming a donkey for Jesus is simply saying, I want to be one who bears and carries God's presence. Number one, it was interesting that it was a colt or young donkey. The Bible says no man had ever sat upon it. It had not been trained by man or taught man's ways. A young donkey had total trust in Jesus. Jesus wanted a donkey that was obedient and not stubborn. Jesus does not need people who are resistant, but instead people who are ready. Ready means, are you ready? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to move? He needs people who have not and will not let men's opinions and ways affect the way they will function and flowing with Him. The donkey was committed to Christ. Number two, this donkey had a prophecy on it. Here we go. The prophetic donkey. Drum roll. This donkey had a prophecy on it. It's in Zechariah 9:9. There was a prophecy stating that the Messiah or the Savior would come riding on a colt, the foal of an ass. That donkey had a prophecy on him. Now, what happened when they went up there to get that little colt? The prophecy fell on him. The little colt knew it. Something spiritual had just happened to that little colt. That was a prophetic donkey. Listen. When you run into your purpose, your prophecy of life, in it you will fully carry the presence of Jesus. You can feel it in here. It'll come up on you. You can feel that donkey kicking. There was nothing physically unique or special about it, but this donkey was tied to God's plan for the ages. That's a special donkey. This donkey was marked with a prophecy, And so is your life. Every donkey in here, if you're carrying the presence of God, there is a prophecy on you. Anybody want to see it? Will you believe it when you see it? What does this donkey with a prophecy on it have to do with us? According to Joel 2 and Acts 2, there is a generation which has a prophecy on it. It's a prophecy that promises that the Lord will pour out His Spirit upon them. I'm a donkey with a prophecy. That's the right answer to the test. Hee-haw! We are that generation. We are a part of the generation that is marked with prophecy. We are. The donkey had to be loosed. Now watch this one. I'm just about to finish up here. Even though this donkey had never been ridden, and though it had a prophecy on it, it was tied up. You see, Jesus had to set him free. Jesus sent word to untie him. When Jesus sent the word, the prophecy fell on the colt, and the colt, I guarantee you, they didn't have to lead him to Jesus. I promise you, they didn't have to lead him. He went to Jesus. You are a donkey with prophecy on it. The question is, are you still tied up in some areas? It's keeping you from carrying the presence of Jesus. In fact, men had tied him up. He didn't know what he could do because men had tied up the colt. Now, you've got to understand, when Jesus called for the colt, the colt didn't have to be tied up. Look in it, not at it, in it. Put on your prophecy cap here. A man had tied up the colt, so the colt was bound. I guarantee you the prophecy was on the colt while he was tied. The prophecy came on him before he got loose. Jesus had to say, loose him. He didn't know what he was created to do, and even if he did, he couldn't do it because he was tied up. I'm hoping the Holy Spirit of God showing you something's got you bound, something's got you tied. You want to carry the presence of God more than you're carrying the presence of God. You can't seem to move. Your heart is, you've already said, God, here I am, but you're tied. You got to be loose. Listen, Jesus has already called you to be untied. You're just not heeding the untied, being untied. Number three, the donkey had to be loose. The prophecy on him was spiritual, but the thing that held him tied up was natural. He had a spiritual. You can have a spiritual prophecy on your life, but things in the natural's got you bound. You got to cut her loose. The donkey was tied up in his flesh. No one can carry Jesus when they are all tied up in their flesh. There are people who God could use right now, or some He could use in a greater way, but they are all tied up, confound it. Number four, he was tied up, but Jesus knew where he was. Can somebody say glory right there? Now, he might have been tied up. He was tied up, but Jesus knew where he was. If you're born again, you have been created to carry the presence of Jesus. And if you're tied up in something right now, today's the day Jesus wants to untie you. If you haven't been born again and you're tied up and you're lost, today's your day. We just got to understand what the love of Jesus really means. You might be tied, but He knows where you are. This donkey was at the very place Jesus said he would be, and Jesus knew where he was. Jesus spoke a delivering word that caused him to be loosed. It worked too. The man that owned the donkey wasn't sure what was happening. Watch this one. I like this. I can tell you that when you start walking away from the human tie down, people are going to wonder what in the world's going on. Because you're not tied to them no more. Don't you know that little donkey got untied? He ran down the street just a kicking and a jumping and a carrying on. Don't you know he did? Why? Because the king had set him free. You say, Alan, what's that got to do with bridge builders? It's got a lot to do with bridge building. It's got everything to do with building a bridge. Jesus was the bridge between God and man. The donkey carried the bridge. The donkey carried the bridge. For some reason, God does come here, but for some reason, God is wanting us to carry him around. We're like a donkey carrying Jesus into Jerusalem. For some reason, he wants to ride in us. He wants to ride with us. Go figure. I don't get it. Surely to goodness God's got a better vehicle than me. Have you ever stopped to think maybe God sees something you don't? You can say, well, couldn't God pick somebody better than me? Well, probably not, because he sees better than we do. Not only does he see where you're tied up, he sees where you're going to be. He sees what you're going to look like, and he wants to go with you. God already knows the end. He just wants to walk with you on your journey to that end. That's all. God doesn't need heaven. He just wants the trip. Come on, somebody. He just wants a donkey to carry him around. There's something. I got a friend of mine. They got a dog. And so help me, that dog would rather ride than eat. Doesn't care where he's going. Doesn't care who it's with. As long as you're going. That's the way God is. He already knows the end destination. He's lived there long. He's lived there. He knows what that is. He just wants somebody to ride around. Let him get in there with you. God wants your trip. He gets excited about your trip. You're trying to fix your trip, and God says, well, look over there, isn't that pretty? God says, let's go a little more. Let's go a little further. Let's go a little faster. Then we say, but God, look, we're going to have a wreck. He says, I know, but I'll fix it. Let me have a wheel just a minute. God likes the trip that you are on. He wouldn't miss it for nothing in the world. He is dying to get on your trip. He did die to be part of your trip. Now, the donkey, Jesus is the bridge. But the donkey carried the bridge. He carried the building material so others could walk upon the bridge. Will you be a carrier of his presence? Have you received the presence so you can carry it? Have you been born? Have you received the presence? How do you receive the presence? You ask him to come into your heart and life. Before you do that, you kind of got to clean, got to make a little room. And you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. See, when you do that, you're cleaning out a little bit. You're cleaning out some rooms. You say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Would you like to come in? And he'll say, yes. He said, I've been knocking a long time. Just let me in. He will come in. He will then go on your trip with you. You'll be the donkey. He'll be the presence. And he'll say, well, where? And you'll say, well, Jesus, where do we need to go? You know what he'll say? I don't know, but I'm going where you're going. He'll say, I'll just go anywhere you want to go. You see, God wants your trip. You might want to be careful where you take him, you know. You might be a little choosy about where you take him on your trip, but he's with you on the trip just the same. I'm going to show a little video clip here. It's 5, 6 minutes or 7 or something. I want you to keep this in mind now. Jesus is the bridge. We are the carriers of the bridge. Here's my goal. If you've not been born again, today's your day. Here's my second goal. If you are born again, I hope by the end of this teaching and this clip that you will understand what it means about this Easter season. You'll understand what it means that God gave his son that you might live. Deal? The man that was working on the trained there, he passed the test. He made a right decision and he passed the test. But listen to this one. It's like Abraham and Isaac, that man and his son. Do you feel just a little bit what God must have felt when Jesus was on the cross and God had to turn his back? Can you feel a little bit what God had to feel? But guess what? God passed his own test. And he's excited about it. He was so excited, he looked at his son, he raised him up the third day, and it's been on ever since. God passed his own test. If you're in a test today, my prayer is that you'll do the right thing. That you'll pass the test. You might not get everything you want, but just understand, it'll affect the lives of others. It will affect the lives of others. It'll cost you, but it'll affect so many. Don't ever head down, please, and every eye closed. If you say, Alan, I know that I have never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know that I haven't, but I want to today. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand up right quickly. If you don't know how, we'll be glad to show you. Say, Alan, I'm not sure if I die tonight that I'd go to heaven. Just raise your hand. I won't embarrass you, come to you, or anything. If that's anybody under the sound of my voice. Okay, let's stand. If there's anyone in here can say, all right, Alan, I understand more now what God went through, what God had to feel when he gave his son for me. I've not been a very good donkey, but I want to carry his presence. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. I want you to really mean it if you raise your hand. If you say, Allah, I want to carry God's presence. I want to carry more of his presence if you raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. If there's anybody that is not sure about their salvation, I'm going to ask Rodney if you'd come right over here. Lord Jesus, I ask and pray. If there's anyone here today to receive Christ, I pray that they'll go over with Rodney, that he might lead them to you. And dear God, for those of us that have been born again, forgive us, oh God. Forgive us, oh God, for not understanding and being sensitive to what you went through, that bridge of the cross was made for us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.